Okay, we're talking in this session about remembering the basics of counseling. And as we get started, let's find our place in our notebooks, and then would you bow with me, please, as I lead us in prayer. Father, we would ask for your help. Lord, we're approaching a time of the day when some of us would get a little fuzzy mentally, and we ask now that you would give us energy, discipline to focus on what's ahead of us. Help each of us to do our best. Those that are listening, help them to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Help them to be alert to personal applications. Help them to be alert also to truths that can be emphasized that will help them to be more effective in their counseling ministry. And help me, Lord, to be clear and precise and helpful as I speak on this subject. In Christ's name, amen. Remember the basics. The scriptures, as I understand them, teach that all Christians are to be problem solvers. And leaders especially are to be problem solvers. Skill in solving problems earns you the right to be heard and will expand your ministry potential. On the other hand, a lack of skill in problem solving reduces your influence. And if you are a leader, it can contribute to people developing disrespect for you and bypassing you when difficult situations develop. That's why this is such an important subject. A text that's been very meaningful to me in thinking about this is Acts 20, verse 20. You remember the historical context. The Apostle Paul is a prisoner. He's being taken to Rome. In his mind, he's going to be martyred. Apparently, the ship stops by Ephesus, and it sets the stage for him to have an interaction with his beloved Ephesian elders. You remember from your study of the New Testament that the Apostle Paul spent twice as much time in Ephesus as he did in any other one single place. So the time of ministry there with these people was very, very special and significant to him. And when he's talking with them, in his mind, he's saying goodbye to them. And all of you know what it's like when people think they're saying goodbye to somebody for the last time. Many of us have been there at deathbed situations with people. And they're always the same. People tend to be very sentimental. They tend to be very reflective. And they tend to talk about what it was like back when we were together and doing ministry or whatever it was together. So picture, here's the Apostle Paul, and the reason this passage is so meaningful for those of us who are committed to biblical ministry is because Paul is being autobiographical in a special way, and he's revealing his approach to ministry. So here's Paul saying goodbye to his beloved Ephesian elders for what he thinks is the last time, and he says to them, "When I was with you, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house." The word translated shrink was a nautical term, and it meant to take the sail of a ship down, fold it up, and stow it away. Paul said, as he's reminiscing with his buddies, "When I was with you, I didn't take anything from the gospel that could have helped you and, in effect, fold it up and stow it away." Which, by the way, is exactly what happens in Bible-believing churches in America, where the pastor, the ABF leader, Sunday school teacher stand up on Sunday, proclaim the Word of God, exegete the Scriptures, encourage people to read the Bible, obey Jesus, do what the Bible says, and so forth. And then when people call that same church on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday and say, "I just found out my husband's hooked on pornography, we need help. My wife is depressed, we need help. My son just got kicked out of school, we need help. My child's threatening suicide. My husband just lost his job." When they call those same churches and they hear, "I'm sorry, counseling is not our pastor's spiritual gift." Or they hear, "I'm sorry, we're not a big church. We don't have a counselor on staff." Or, "I'm sorry, we don't have a counseling center here. But we do point people toward a place across town." And oftentimes the place that they're being referred and deferred to are people that are trained in the world's theories, the world's philosophies, who do not have a biblical view of man or sin, of righteousness or change. And in effect, what they're doing is they're folding up the gospel and stowing it away. All right? Paul said on his, what he thought would be his deathbed, "When I was with you, I did not do anything, keep back from you what could have helped you. And by the way, I've made that one of my goals in my death. That by God's grace, when I'm on my deathbed, if I get to talk to people I've ministered to, I want to be able to say, when I was with you, I did not shrink back from declaring to you anything that was profitable. And like Paul, I want to be able to say, but I taught you publicly and from house to house. Now notice this. As you look at that verse, Paul talks about one ministry of the word, but it's done in two formats. One ministry of the word, but it's done in two formats. Now the first one, he says, I taught you publicly. And all of us are familiar with the public ministry of the word. In fact, if I was able to meet you at a break and we got to chat a little bit, and you told me about your church, I could say, and what time are your services on Sunday? And you could tell me. In fact, most of us attend churches where if you walk into the auditorium, the largest room in the place, by the seating arrangement and by the arrangement of the furniture on the platform, and in many cases, even the size of the centerpiece of furniture, the pulpit, we indicate that what happened, everything in here is central to what happens at this place. All right? Now, there are three characteristics of the public ministry of the word I want you to think about. The public ministry of the word is scheduled. It has many people, and it is general discipleship. It's general discipleship. By that, I mean you preach one message, you teach one Sunday school lesson, and the brand new babe in Christ gets it and is helped, and the person who's walked with Christ for decades hears the same message, same Sunday school lesson, and they get help. It is general discipleship. It's scheduled, many people, and it's general discipleship. Those are the characteristics of the public ministry, the word. But Paul said, I taught you publicly and from house to house. What Paul called house-to-house ministry of the word is what today we would call discipleship, or what we would call today biblical counseling. And there are three characteristics of biblical counseling I'd like you to think about. Number one, biblical counseling typically is spontaneous in its beginning. By that I mean this coming Lord's Day, when many of you will be back home at your church, what will happen with some of you is the morning worship service will be dismissed. You'll be grabbing your Bible, grabbing your coat, getting ready to leave, and you won't make it out of the auditorium before somebody's going to come up and say, hey, could we sit down and chat for just a couple minutes? And you sit down, and about 5 minutes later, all of a sudden it dawns on you, I'm starting a counseling case. You ever had that one happen? Or some of you, you'll make it out of the auditorium, but you'll be walking through the parking lot, and somebody will call your name and walk up to you and say, could I ask you something? And as the question comes out, you realize 4 minutes later, I'm starting a counseling case. That's what I mean, it's spontaneous. Number two, private ministry is not only spontaneous, but it's typically one to two people. Maybe three, maybe you have a husband, a father, a mother, and a child maybe, or maybe four, but typically it's one, maybe two, three, four. It's very small. And number three, it is intensive discipleship. It is intensive discipleship. In other words, when people come and we're talking about personal problems and struggles, they do not need to have a general message on the love of God or something like that. They don't need something general. What they need is intensive discipleship. Biblical counseling is ministering the Word of God precisely where that individual, that couple, that family needs it the most right now. So the difference, but it's one ministry of the word, just two different formats. All right? Now, one other thing I'd like to draw a comparison between the public ministry of the word and the private ministry of the word. You all are aware that there are some basic do's and don'ts on being a public speaker. And most of us have had classes in school called speech or public address. If you went to a Bible college or seminary, it's probably called homiletics, the study of preaching. And there's just some basic do's and don'ts for being a good public speaker. I mean, you know, do have an introduction that catches people's attention. Do have a conclusion that kind of pulls things together. Say something in between that makes sense. And if you don't pay attention to these basic do's and don'ts, you will not be a good public speaker. However, if you do pay attention to the basic acknowledged do's and don'ts, about anybody with a little bit of effort and practice can become a pretty good public speaker. Now listen to me. In the same way, there are some basic do's and don'ts on the private ministry of the word. Just as there are some do's and don'ts for the public ministry of the word, there are some basic